embarrassed him this morning.
He did embarrass me. He made fun of my tie. I mean, come on.
So I did it in front of everybody, so I'm going to apologize.
Yes. I almost went home. I tell you what, I'm listening to her sing and play piano. I'm thinking, I have a hard enough time trying to walk around here and finish a statement, much less have two hands going and read music and figure out what you're going to say.
Don't forget the feet are involved, too.
Listen, if you will turn to Ephesians chapter 5, please. Ephesians 5. And I'm going somewhere else. But it's okay. It's all good. Ephesians 5 and verse number 2. And it says, "And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for sweet smelling savor." I'm going to talk about God's love this morning. And, you know, as independent Baptist churches, we just, oh man, it just gives us creeps. Talk about God's love for some reason. I mean, actually consider what God's, we don't have a problem with, oh, you know, for God so loved the world. We don't have a problem with that. But I find that with most people that are saved, that's just rhetoric. You know, it was good enough when you got saved, and getting saved, there was some emotion involved. But for some reason, there's a disconnect with our daily lives. It's like, you know, he loved me enough to come die on the cross because that's God. And he did it for the whole world. And he did it for me. Thank you very much. But, you know, I have to look at myself in the mirror every day and I don't see it. Now, if we're honest with ourselves, everybody looks in the mirror every day and says, I don't see it. I mean, if you consider, and trust me, I do way too often because I make so many mistakes throughout the day and for the week. And I mean, I say things that I really shouldn't say and I have to go back and apologize. But the thing is that I know who I am and I know what I am. I know what I was. I know what I still am. You know, if it wasn't for God's grace and if it wasn't the Holy Spirit alive in me and making changes in me and me trying to stay in this book and let it change me from the inside, good night, man. I'd be dead. I'd have been dead a long time ago. And I've said this before, but when I was lost, I wasn't the kind of guy that you'd want to be around. And I just wasn't. And it just amazes me when I stop and consider the fact that, wow, God loves me. And really, when you get a hold of that thing and just really, it's like being born again all over again. I mean, when you stop and consider the fact that, wow, I mean, God loves me. Listen, when I got saved, I didn't think I could get saved. I'll just be honest with you. I'd heard it. I had some friends that were praying for me. They tried to witness to me. In fact, I went to called Louisiana College out in Pineville. I don't know if y'all, it's a Southern Baptist school. And you got to have a testimony to get in. I made one up. But they had a good pre-med thing. And that's what I went for, pre-med. Listen, I was the guy that the preacher boys would get together and pray for and come knock on my door in the dorm, try to witness to me. I was the fella at the school that says, man, you know, the next Billy Graham's going to get that guy. So, listen, when I actually saw it, that God loved me, and that's what I needed to know, that God loved me. Because there was no love in my life before that. I didn't understand it. And I really didn't understand it when I saw it. I mean, yes, it was illuminated. Yes, I saw it. But man, how do you understand the depths that God loves. You know, guys, it's okay to talk about that. Okay, that's not one of those feely, touchy things, man. I mean, if you go to a charismatic church, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, if you want to go there, you'll get sick. You'll vomit all over stuff because it's just sweet and gooey. It's like, oh. You know. But when you get in reality and you really see, and it's not so much experience the love of God, although we should experience the love of God. I mean, we should get up in the morning and just look at ourselves in the mirror and go, oh, man, God loves me. We need to consider that. We need to think about that. We need to walk in. That's what he says here. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for sweet smelling. Like, look, how do you know that you're being loved? He died for you. And he died for you when you didn't love him and you didn't like him. You didn't think about him. And he still went to the cross. He died for Nancy Pelosi. Now, I'm going to tell you, look, I walk in this body, okay? I got to deal with the flesh. There's a lot of people I just can't imagine God really does love. But when you consider the fact that he did die for these people, you start to really get an understanding of how deep his love really goes. I mean, he loves even these pedophiles and I don't want to get into that. He loves these people. And he wants them to be saved. And he wants their lives to change. He wants to move in. And they're despicable, disgusting to me. And yet God loves them. If he can love them, can he love you? I mean, we deal with a lot of stuff. Growing up, my parents, they weren't perfect. And my dad really didn't show me the love of God. Oh, boo-hoo. You know, there's a lot of people who didn't have a dad at all, and they got it. You know, they're not making excuses. Listen, you need to set aside your preconceived notions of what love is. And you need to do a deep dive into the Bible and look exactly where God is as far as his love is concerned. And his love for you, you need to make it personal. It's not just words on a page. It's not just rhetoric. It's not something you just tell somebody so they can get saved. It's what you walk in every day of your life. It needs to be real to you. And look, when it becomes real to you, I mean, come on. How confident do you feel when you know that somebody loves you? I mean, when you get right down to it, the things that happen in our life is being controlled, maybe guided. I mean, look, God who loves you is going to make sure that the things that happen in your life are going to help you. Even when you lose that job, guys, there's something around the bend. Look, Job lost everything. And he got everything back. Now, I don't know about y'all, but if you've been around for any length of time, you're bound to have lost a job. You're bound to have come into some difficulties as far as finances are concerned. I'm sure somebody somewhere along the line has talked about you. You know what I'm saying? And it's times like those where we have a tendency to forget or lose sight of the fact that, you know, regardless of what's happening in my life, God loves me. Just as sure as those they're falling down at the feet of God and saying, holy, holy, holy. Just as sure as that's happening every single day, God loves you. I mean, I wish I could I wish I had the ability to convey to you. But you know, that's something the Holy Spirit's going to have to do. Just something the Holy Spirit's going to have to do. And it's something you're going to have to accept. You know, it's time to quit saying, I'm not worthy. Well, sure you're not worthy. We're a bunch of scumbags. But God still loves us. Amen. And we can accept that. You know, we're afraid that, oh, well, if I say that God loves me, maybe it'll jinx it. No, he ain't going to jinx it. He loves you, period. Amen. And you need to start walking that way. So here we go. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 17, it says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. That ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Not some of it. All of it. And that's what God has in store for us. Be filled with all the fullness of God. That's what he wants for you. And if that is not what's going on in your life, it's your fault. Because this is God's will for your life. Now, I'm not up here saying that, you know, you can name it and claim it, and everybody's supposed to be rich and wealthy and have good health. I'm not saying that at all. You're supposed to be full of God and his love. Look, let's take a look at this. Breadth. That's broad and wide. What it encompasses. See, when you look at breadth, that means that everybody in this room, and keep on going, spread out. That means down a trailer park, wherever, which direction the trailer park is, down a Livingston, it doesn't matter which direction. There are trailer parks everywhere. But I'm just saying, the poor, the rich, his love is, the breadth of his love encompasses everyone. Everyone. Even the people I mentioned earlier, that I'm not going to mention again. The length, how far it reaches. Now, how far does it reach? Is there an end to this thing? The depth from which it comes to where it went. I mean, he did come from heaven, he came to earth, and he went to hell. I mean, how much deeper does that go? You know what I'm saying? I mean, who does he not want to reach? Where does the love of Christ end? I mean, if he was willing to go to hell, and then when he rose again in Ephesians 5, he took captivity captive, and he went to heaven. So we got this height thing and this depth thing and this broad and length thing. I mean, where in the world can we go that the love of Christ isn't there? And how far into our souls, in our spirits, does this love of Christ go? Like I said, if we're not experiencing this love, and I mean experience, if we're not experiencing this love, there's a disconnect between you and God, because God loves you. And he wants to fill you with that love. He wants all the fullness of God. Now I'm not, y'all get me, right? Okay, look, what I want to get across today is this. God loves you. I mean, he loves you. With all your mistakes, with all your warts, with the hair falling out and the weight on the hips, you know, and the stupid things you said yesterday, that applies to the men, ladies, to the dumb things you said yesterday or this morning, and the bad decisions that we've made, through all of that, God is consistent and He loves you. You see, a lot of times we'll mess up and we beat ourselves and we're like Catholics. You know, we're doing penance. We're going up the steps on our knees with a whip, flogging ourselves. I mean, come on. Yeah, you can knock your head up against the wall when you do something stupid. Oh. Yeah. But just keep in mind, that's as far as it should go. You should dust yourself off and don't do stupid again. That's not going to change how God feels about you. Oh, Brother Mike, what about all that? What about it? He died for your sins. Trust me, you never did anything that made you crosswise with your dad and mom. I mean, really? You were that good of a kid? I only know one guy like that. Really, I only know one guy like that. And he makes me uncomfortable every time I'm around. No, I'm kidding. When did your mom and dad say, get out? Well, you know, I can't say. A normal mom and dad going to love you regardless. They may not approve of some of your decisions. They may not approve of the lifestyle that we got involved with. But they still love you. I mean, if a parent in this can love, how much more should we expect from the Father? You got to get past that mental thing. You can't live in the past. You cannot live in the past. We've made bad decisions. Look, I'm going to tell you, the devil's real good. Now, he's real good with me. I don't know if this happens to y'all at all. But, you know, some of the really stupid things that I did, he's really good at bringing that stuff up. And I have to relive it. You know, too many times I just have to relive that thing. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure it doesn't happen to most of y'all, but that's just something that I have to live with and deal with. And I have a tendency to get melancholy. I get to thinking about it too much. And eventually the Lord just goes, pow, back of my head. What is wrong with you? I mean, really, what's wrong with you? So we need to walk in this love. And we need to understand it with the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. I mean, it's there. Permeates. But here we go. We need to accept it. Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? That's written like, duh. I mean, it's a legitimate question, but it's asked in the sense of, come on, really? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Verse, jump down to 38. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, not height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Man! I mean, nothing's going to separate us. It gets me excited. I mean, I like that. Because, look, man, I'm still a scumbag. I'm just a forgiven scumbag. And I like that, too. I'm forgiven. Listen, we need to accept that. We need to stop. We just need to. We have so much. I'm going to say it this way. We have so much fun being down on ourselves that we refuse to really acknowledge and accept what he just said. It's just too easy to blame ourselves, to be down on ourselves, and I'm not worthy, I'm not worth it, I can't, he's never going to bless me, blah, 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 blah. Look, that's just flesh, man, that's the flesh. Now, if you're not getting blessed in your life, you're not opening your eyes. You say, what do you mean, Brother Mike? Well, look, did you wake up this morning? Oh, that's so trite. Yeah, well, there's a lot of people who didn't wake up this morning. Do you walk around? Can you get around? Do you have a job? Can you drive? Can you see? Can you hear? Can you pronounce words? See, those are things that are blessings. Because that can change tomorrow.
Yeah.
How can that change? I don't know. Get in an accident with your car. Become a paraplegic. And then see where your blessings are. Mm-hmm. Look, we overlook the, I'm going to say this, small things. Like being able to smell a flower. We overlook the being able to look at the horizon when the sun's going down or the sun's coming up or how the sun comes through the clouds. You know, we overlook stuff like that. He's allowing us to enjoy this kind of thing. You got a mind to recognize it. We need to accept that God loves you. Just grab a hold of that thing. And He loves you.
Amen.
We need to experience it. Now look, Philippians 2:1 says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, we have the Holy Spirit in our lives. If you're saved, you've got the Holy Spirit. Now, He may not be as evident as He should be, but that's the promise, man. And when you got saved, you know He moved in. Nobody's going to talk you out of that. Well, people say, well, how do you know you're saved? I know. I just know. I mean, I can take them to the Bible. What does that really mean to a lost person? You know, I know I'm saved. I know the Holy Spirit's alive in me. I know this. I know this. And listen, when I say comfort, there's a consolation or comfort in Christ, a comfort of love. There's going to be things in your life that you need to know, that you need to see God's love. You're going to experience some things in your life. It happens. I mean, we live in this world. You live in this flesh. There's going to be heartaches. There's going to be down times. You know, you're going to do something crazy. Or somebody's going to do something crazy to you. It's going to happen. And if you allow, God will comfort you in these things. We talked about grace in Sunday school. You realize that we have grace available to us, but if you ignore it and you decide you don't want it, God wants to comfort us in all our tribulation. All of it. What about those people that were in World War II? There were some Christians. There's Christians today. In China. I mean, you don't have to go very far. I remember this. I think I said this before, but I remember a guy came through. He's an evangelist or a church planter in Canada. And he says, look, man, if the Lord says, I can put every one of you preacher boys in a church tomorrow in Canada. It's like, I talked to him afterwards. I said, why is that? He says, well, because in Canada, it's basically Catholic. And the Catholic priest is telling their parishioners that, hey, Want to do some light time in purgatory? Let's get rid of that Baptist preacher. They got plenty of churches, just they can't keep preachers. I talked to a missionary. He said there's a hospital within 3 hours and a hospital within 9 hours. They go to the one in 9 hours. I said, that doesn't make sense. Why is that? Well, the Catholic Church runs us 3 hours away. He says, you never know what kind of medication you're going to get. Oh, yeah. See, as a Baptist preacher, you'd end up like dead or the wrong medication. I said, really? He says, oh, yeah. It happens all the time. Now, we're starting to see that today in the United States. Go figure, huh? And by the way, I don't recommend that you go to the hospital if you get sick. It's not a good idea. Anyway, we need to experience God's love through his comfort. But in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 2, it says, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Your hearts must be comforted from y'all. We should have such a close fellowship, and our hearts should be so close and on the same page that if somebody hurts in our church, everybody feels it. And everybody comes to comfort that individual. Now, the funerals are the big example of that. But I mean, why are we going to wait when somebody dies? I mean, we got people hurting our church now. Our responsibility as born-again believers and members of this congregation is to look out for one another and to comfort one another. I mean, one way of experiencing God's comfort is through the brethren. I mean, you have the Holy Spirit, I have the Holy Spirit. We should have a connection here. You have a responsibility to comfort one another. How do we explain God's comfort in our lives if we can't comfort each other? I mean, we get that, right? 1 John says, we know we are disciples because of our love one for another. See, love is more than just four-letter word. Now, I realize it's hard to define love, but there's a lot of things in the Bible that talk about what love really is, like charity. That's the action aspect of love. If you want to love one another, then you need to do for one another. If you want to comfort one another, you need to do. You need to do. I mean, look, comfort is not, I really meant to call you. I really wanted to bring by a plate lunch. I know y'all are struggling. I meant to come by. Well, okay, thanks. What are you supposed to say? Well, okay, thanks. Let's do this. Ephesians 4. In verse 15 and 16 it says, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And we're in with this. Because I don't want people falling asleep on me. You need to work on making your words sweet and true. You know, I'm kind of one of those negative type people. I know. And I'll get on a topic and really just nail some things, man. Just nail some things. But the Holy Spirit has to work on me to talk about sweet things. Like at work, Everybody wants to complain. Everybody, nothing's good. Everything's bad. You know, the wife's bad. Home's bad. The boss is bad. This job stinks. You know what I'm saying? That's the conversation of the world. That's the conversation of the world. And then we come to church, and there's so many bad things going on out there. It's easy for us to get caught up with, well, you know, the government and this, and what's going on in Ukraine, and what's actually going on in Ukraine, and what's really, really going on in Ukraine, you know. And we miss the fact that, wow, man, I'm going to heaven. What did you read today? What did the Bible say to you this week? What truth did God give you? Man, I couldn't wait to get here to let you know. Now, I know how it is. Somebody walks in the door and says, wow! And you're like, oh, great. But that's, you ought to irritate people like that. Because the more you irritate people like that, the more chances are they're going to get on your boat. Because it's a whole lot easier to spend time with somebody who's really positive about eternity and positive about what God's doing in their life and positive on how God's going to use them and you. It really rubs off. You know, iron sharpeneth iron? It really does. It really does. So you need to practice that. What do you mean? Well, you're a fundamental independent Baptist. That's what we do, right? Pretend until we make it. And then when you get there and it's real in your life, then people are going to say, yeah. They're going to walk away. It's our responsibility. Our responsibility to help each other and to comfort one another and to practice these things. Man, change your speech. Change the way you look at stuff. Change it. Now, I'm not saying stick your head in the sand and, you know, all these bad things that are going around us, it's not really there. I'm not saying we're Pollyanna. You know, but I am saying we need to correct our thinking. Look, things are going on today that, wow, I mean, can you tell me seriously that we're not close to the, you know, book of Revelation? Doesn't this kind of look like it's lining up that direction?
Oh, brother.
I mean, that's exciting. That's exciting. Should be exciting for us. Because we're going to get out of this mess here pretty soon.
Yeah.
I'm ready. I tell my class all the time, I said, I'm praying that the Lord comes back the day before you get married. That's encouraging, right? I mean, you know, in love. Listen, I've got plenty to say, but here's the thing. We can't believe God actually loves us. And that's your problem. That's our problem. We just can't believe it. Because we think somewhere in the back of our mind, we're being, oh, what's the word I'm looking for? That's what happened. I had my birthday, so now it's all gone. We're being disingenuous when we actually accept the fact that God loves us and wants the best for us. Oh, maybe you are, but you know what? We need to practice. We need to allow God to show us every day. Every day. Because it's every day He loves us, right? All right, if you bow your heads, please, close your eyes. Father, you've just been so good to us. You've just been so good to us. And we don't deserve it. And we are stinking, rotten sinners. We are. And we know what we are. But Father, you love us. You know, you tell us over and over and over and over again, you love us. We need to come to that realization and accept that truth. and a walk in that love. Help us, Father, to make decisions on this. Now, with nobody looking around, please, I'm going to ask, if you don't know for sure you're going to heaven, you don't know for sure, if you died right now, that you would go to heaven, but you would like to know, and you'd like for me to pray for you, would you please raise your hand? Brother Mike, I do not know I'm going to heaven. All right, some of y'all just refuse, for whatever reason, to accept the fact that God loves you. And that needs to be taken care of, because He loves you. I mean, He just does. And it's not because I said it, it's because the Bible's very clear that He loves you. So take this time, please. Accept that love. Father, thank you. Do your work, please, in Jesus' name.